Good morning, listeners, on this very lovely day, bright, sunny day. Welcome to you. And thank you for tuning into our program, Out and About with Leah and Tim. And this is the hour every Tuesday from 9 in the morning until 10, during which we draw your attention to not-for-profit community events that are being held in the next 2 weeks or so on the Mornington Peninsula or very nearby. Leah Jewell looks after the technical production of the program. She keeps me in order, and she intersperses my chat with pieces of music she's chosen. My name is Tim Acton. I'm a retired airline manager living in Mount Eliza, and I try very hard to pass on the event information to you in an interesting, helpful, and hopefully entertaining way. So please get comfortable, have some light refreshments within easy reach, and I do suggest you arm yourself with pen and paper to take down event details that might interest you. But before we move on to the events, may Leah and I wish you, your family members or friends who are celebrating birthdays or significant anniversaries today, a very enjoyable and memorable day, the 6th of March. Now, I've got a quiz question for you. Apart from our illustrious birthday folk today, what links the 6th of March to the following? A famous painter, a Pacific island, a headache, and an opera superstar? Well, let me give you the answers. On the 6th of March 1475, Michelangelo was born in Tuscany, Italy, and he became a famous painter and sculptor, rated by some as the greatest artist of all time. Amongst Michelangelo's best-known works, David, the 17-foot-tall marble statue of a male nude, currently in the Accademia Gallery in Florence. His beautiful tapestry, The Last Judgment, which hangs in the Vatican in Rome. And most famous of all, his wonderful painting of the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, also in the Vatican. This last work took 4 years, from 1508 to 1512, to complete, much of it with Michelangelo lying on his back on scaffolding up underneath the ceiling. Norfolk Island, a then uninhabited subtropical island in the Pacific, 1600 kilometres northeast of Sydney, was discovered by Captain James Cook in 1774, and 14 years later, on the 6th of March 1788, a group of 15 convicts and 7 free men arrived on the island and officially claimed Norfolk Island for Great Britain. So today is Foundation Day for Norfolk Island. And it was on the 6th of March 1944 that Kiritikatonkanawa was born in Gisborne, New Zealand, with Maori and European ancestry. She had a 45-year career as an outstanding soprano opera singer, the highlight perhaps being when she sang at Prince Charles and Princess Diana's wedding in 1981. When she sang, it was understood to be heard by an estimated worldwide TV audience of 600 million people. And just in case all of these details I'm firing at you about the 6th of March are giving you a nasty headache, you'll be relieved to learn that aspirin, as a brand name and cure for just about everything, was patented by Friedrich Bayer & Co. in Berlin on this day in 1899. However, some ingredients of aspirin originated from the leaves of willow trees 2,500 years ago. So there you are. The 6th of March is a special day in many diverse ways, but of course, especially for birthdays and anniversaries. So have a good day, everybody, on this bright, sunny, lovely day. And I think that's enough waffle from me. So back to Leah for her first choice of music. Thanks, Leah.
Good morning, viewers. So our first piece of music to this morning is from River, a band called Rider, and this is Borrowed Ground.
Right, on to events on the peninsula in the next 10 days or so. And this is a huge time for community events and activities covering a number of diverse interests, hobbies and types of events. You've got kite flying, aircraft flying, an agricultural show, antiques, garden plants, golf, quilting and book writing. So something for everyone and of every age. Let's start with a spectacular and exciting event, the 2018 Rosebud Kite Festival, the main part of which is being held on the foreshore opposite Jetty Road of Rosebud on Sunday, the 11th of March, this coming Sunday, from 11 in the morning until 5 in the evening. First of all, the kites. Now, we're not talking about little paper-made ones like we used to try to get off the ground when we were kids. A team of expert kite flyers from across Australia and New Zealand will display and fly high into the sky their incredible maxi kites, some worth $5,000 or more each. These kites are so large they need a team of people to control them, as well as strong cables often attached to vehicles to keep them anchored. The kites are built in many designs, some as dolphins or stingrays, winged dragons, floating astronauts and heaps more. And for the first time in the 14 years this kite festival has taken place, there will be a demonstration of kite buggying. Now, kite buggying is where a kite is used to use its wind power to pull a buggy very fast along Rosebud Beach with an intrepid passenger in the buggy. Now, apart from these remarkable kites, there's a massive program of activities on the ground throughout the day next Sunday. On the main stage and in the Music Network marquee, there'll be live musical entertainment by local bands. There's a circus tent with free play workshops, circus play workshop for kids, and comedy shows all day. Carnival rides, food stalls. There's an interactive wildlife display involving tame birds, marsupials and reptiles, including snakes. Whoa. There are wandering robots and stilt walkers. This Rosebud Kite Festival is on all day this coming Sunday, the 11th of March, and it sounds absolutely fantastic. Highly impressive kites flying way above you, and an ongoing program packed with optional activities for all ages. For more information, because I've just skimmed the surface of it, 0403-889-559. That's 0403-889-559 for the Rosebud Foreshore is certainly the place to be this coming 11th of March. From kite flying to something more calming but most interesting, the Heronswood Harvest Festival is being held this weekend, the 10th and 11th of March, in the very beautiful setting of Heronswood Historic House and Gardens at 105 La Trobe Parade, Dramana. This is being organised by the Diggers Club. And this Diggers Club was founded in 1978 with the objectives of preserving historic and traditional gardens, heirloom plants and seeds, and warding off attack from genetic modification, industrialization, and the effects of climate change. The Diggers Club is now the largest gardening club in Australia, so you'll be in very good hands at their Harvest Festival this weekend. For an entry fee to Heronswood of $10 per adult, with children under 16 free, on each day, there'll be garden tours, a free mini workshop program, stalls serving local produce, children's activities, and the opportunity to enjoy lunch in the gorgeous setting of on the pool lawn from a menu of the freshest heirloom kitchen garden produce from Heronswood House's restaurant. Oh, and I've just thought of an extra bonus activity. On Sunday, you could sit on the lawns of Heronswood enjoying the Heronswood Festival, and you could watch the kite flying at nearby Rosebud. So there you are, you're killing, well, I shouldn't say killing, you're enjoying two events at one time. So the Diggers Club Harvest Festival, this weekend, the 10th to 11th of March, 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening each day, at 105 La Trobe Parade, Dromana, $10 entry, bargain. I don't think bookings are necessary, it's a very large area, but as more information is available, on 5984-7321. 5984-7321 for the Heronswood Harvest Festival. The third event I want to mention in this bracket is one I have mentioned previously, but I love it for its objectives, its community involvement, and its simplicity. It's called Very Snuggly Quilts Mornington Peninsula. And basically, it comprises of small groups of volunteers who gather approximately 20 times a year, usually in peninsula libraries and community centres, to help sew patchwork quilts. And these quilts are then donated to young children and teenagers at the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne who have life-threatening illnesses, giving them extra warmth and comfort in difficult times. So how good is that? Absolutely wonderful. And do you know the quilters actually made 2,000 quilts in 2017 for the Royal Children's Hospital? Look, anyone is welcome to come along to the Very Snuggly Quilts gatherings to either sew or just be of help. If you happen to have a working sewing machine, needles, bobbins, scissors, pins and so on, please bring these. But it's not vital. You don't have to be an experienced patch worker. No bookings are necessary, and you'll be guaranteed of a very warm welcome. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is that the next meeting is this Friday, 3 days from now, the 9th of March at Rosebud Library, which is in McCall Street, Rosebud. So 9:30 in the morning until 2:30 in the afternoon, or however long you want, whatever time you can spare. The contact, Marie Lee, 5982-2365. That's Marie at 5982-2365 to help out this Friday at Rosebud Library with the sewing of these beautiful quilts. It's a win-win all round, isn't it? Fantastic. So there you are, our first three pieces of event information. Back now again to Leah. Thanks, Leah.
Yes, our next piece of music is from a band that I totally love. It's a London-based synth-pop duo, Oh Wonder, and this is out their single, Ultralife.
So that was the group with the great name, Oh Wonder, singing their number, Ultralife. On to events on the peninsula. And yes, the Tyab Air Show is on again, bigger and better than ever. This Sunday, the 11th of March, with gates opening at 8:30 in the morning and air displays starting at 11:30. This show is run every 2 years by the Peninsula Aero Club and its large team of volunteers. The Aero Club is a flying training school located at a small regional airport just west of the town of Tyab on the peninsula. You'll find it at Melways 148 F11. As professional flight instructors that provide training for all flying license levels from private up to commercial. Now, the key to the attractiveness of the Tyab Air Show is, of course, the many types of aircraft on display and showing their paces in the air. Now, here I have to admit that whilst I had a 40-year career in commercial aviation, it was with my feet firmly on the ground. And my technical knowledge of aircraft is nearly non-existent. However, the names of some of the aircraft in the show have been legendary for many years. A Sopwith Snipe replica from World War I, the Grumman Avenger, a Kitty Hawk, Mustang, a Wirraway, Tiger Moths, there's a Navy helicopter, an Albatross jet trainer, and so on. The theme of this year's Tyre Beer Show, War and Peace. So planes range from vintage to modern military aircraft, and they'll all be performing or on display. It's highly spectacular. Or an especially spectacular, the Southern Knights aerobatic team. I always marvel at what they can achieve. A big crowd will attend. Tickets, $50 for adults, $25 for children between 5 and 14. Tickets are available online, Tyab Airshow, that's all one word, tyabairshow.com. So there you go, there'll be tickets available at the entrance, of course, too. No dogs or alcohol is allowed on the airstrip or on the airport. And it's suggested you bring a chair or blanket to sit on. It's a very long day, but there'll be lots and lots happening. Because of the number of people attending, the car parking is going to be very hectic. There are two major car parks. One will be on Bowes Road, and the second one will be off Peacock Road, which is on the Mornington Peninsula, comes off the Mornington Peninsula Tyab Road. Major proceeds from the air show go to Riding for the Disabled, which is a tremendous cause for the proceeds to go to. So well done the Peninsula Aero Club for this terrific air show that they put on. It's very complex, but very, very worth seeing. I went 2 years ago. Secondly, two of my favourite programmes on free-to-air TV are Antique Roadshow on Channel 2 and Bargain Hunt on Channel 7. Now, both involve antiques. And whilst I've got to admit I'm one myself, I'm a bit antique myself, I also love to learn of the history, the design, and the value of the genuinely old objects. And I've got to tell you, I also live in hope of coming across some little unspectacular item in an op shop or market stall nearby, buying it for $2, and it turns out to be worth a fortune. So it's great to hear that St. Thomas More School is holding an antiques and collectible fair on Saturday, the 17th of March, that Saturday week, in its main hall and gymnasium. It's, of course, in Mount Eliza. There's going to be a huge collection of items for sale, such as old radios and cameras, antique dolls, collections of coins, stamps and postcards, glassware, jewellery, too many items to mention, but all available through over 30 stall holders and for sale. It'll be a great day for all of the family because there'll be sausage sizzle and other things to do, particularly for children. There'll be refreshments, admission $5 for adults with children free. So that's really, really good value. Oh, I've got something else to tell you. If you have an antique or a collectible item at home and you've been wondering what it's worth, bring it along to the antique show and for $10 you can get it valued by a real expert like they do on television. And this service starts at 1 p.m. So, St. Thomas More School's Antique and Collectibles Show, Saturday week, the 17th of March. The school is at 313 Canadian Bay Road, Mount Eliza. You'll find it on Melways 105 H5. Plenty of parking, free parking nearby. Tickets at the door, and it's on from 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. And if you'd like more information about the Antiques and Collectibles Show, ring Michael Robertson, most helpful chap, Michael. Michael Robertson, 0409 165 536. That's 0409 165 536 for St. Thomas More School's Antique and Collectible Roadshow. And finally, in this bracket, I'm calling on all book lovers or would-be authors or even just those folk who like to hear interesting guest speakers talking about various forms of written communications. The Frankston Writers and Poets Society is holding the Mornington Peninsula Writers Festival this Saturday, the 10th of March, from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon in Mornington. This not-for-profit community event brings together 10 of Australia's most acclaimed writers and storytellers, who each present their own choice of subject about their careers, the projects or stories they've covered, and the readers that they hope to attract. The program coordinator at the festival is Andrea McColl. Now, Andrea was a former politician and is now consultant to small businesses and also to not-for-profit organizations. And she will introduce each speaker for their 40-minute sessions each. Briefly and in order of speaking, from 10:20 till 11 in the morning, Father Bob Maguire. He's a well-known Catholic priest, community worker amongst the homeless youth, and a much-loved larrikin, so he's bound to be interesting. 11 until 11:40, Paul Kennedy, radio and TV current affairs specialist. 11:40 till 12:20, Andrew Rule, who's an investigative journalist and columnist. 12:20 till 1 p.m, Johanna Diverston, who's talking about the Life You Can Save movement. So those are all in the morning, and from 1 o'clock in the afternoon until closure at 15, there are six more fine speakers covering writings on crime, Aussie rules football, children's books, satirical humour, and the last one is advice on how to be a successful author. Now, this is a big program. I've just touched on the surface. Big program. It's the Mornington Peninsula Writers Festival this Saturday the 10th, and it's in the Peninsula Community Theatre, which is on the corner of Nepean Highway and Wilson's Road in Mornington. In fact, it's right next to this radio station, RPP, where we're speaking today. 10 o'clock in the morning until 5:15. Tickets, $10, which covers access to all the sessions, so you can pick and choose or come to them all. Great value, and the tickets are available at the door. If you'd like more detailed information about the timings of each speaker, why not ring 0498 583 152. That's 0498 583 152 for the Writers Festival. And back to you again, Leah. Thank you.
Yes, our third song today is from Ali Palmer, a Sydney-based singer, and this is Runaway With Me.
And this is the time when we do a little travel talk. Out and about, of course, can mean trips away from home. So I'm going to give you a little travel talk that might whet your appetite to visit somewhere, this time overseas this week. That if you've got something on your itinerary and got some spare days, I think you'd find this place an absolute gem. I'm going to ask, first of all, a quiz question. Which city in Northern Europe is known as the Venice of the North because of its canals, its curved bridges, and beautiful historic architecture? That's not an easy question. So I'm going to tell you the answer. It's Bruges in Belgium, B-R-U-G-E-S, Bruges in Belgium. In the northwest of the country and fairly close to the French border, Bruges is considered to be the most perfectly preserved medieval city in Europe. And although occupied by Germany in both World Wars, it escaped any serious structural damage. The history of Bruges goes back about 2,000 years. When there was a Gallic Roman settlement on the site of the city. 400 or 500 years later, trade was developed with Scandinavia. And in fact, the name Bruges comes from the old Norse word brugia, which means landing stage. By the 11th century, Bruges had expanded to become a commercial centre of Europe. This was largely due to an influx of weavers fleeing religious persecution who made their home there and started manufacturing high-quality woollen cloth. This evolved eventually into lace-making, and by the mid-17th century, Flanders lace was famous all over Europe. the textile industry and tourism, as well as the production of delicious chocolates, currently sustain the wealth of Bruges. The city area of Bruges is not large, and only about 120,000 people live there. It's very easy to get around, it's safe, and most importantly, visually stunning. It's sort of a mixture of Venice, Florence, and Prague architecturally, with lovely historic buildings, little piazzas, gabled roofs, cobblestone paving stones, which incidentally are murder on the feet, narrow laneways, and of course the canals and bridges. Everywhere, bars, alfresco restaurants, and tea houses. And incidentally, the food speciality is mussels with chips, an unlikely but tasty combination. They also serve a dish of Flemish beef stew and very rich desserts, and all washed down by a huge variety of potent Belgian beers. There are very many shops specializing in chocolates, lace, and the inevitable tourist souvenirs. Now, when I visited Bruges some years ago, I had limited time, so I'll tell you about five or six of them must-sees if you go to Bruges. First of all, the Market Square, the centre of activities in the city, a bit like St. Mark's, St. Peter's or Prague's Old Square. On one side, the Belfry Clock Tower, 83 metres high, 366 steps to the top, for a great view, and 47 bells which chime out across the city most hours of the day. It sits atop a 14th century building which was then the textile trading hall and also the government treasury office. Secondly, you've got Burg Square, B-U-R-G Square, in the oldest area of Bruges, where there was originally a wooden castle built in 872 AD, but since the 14th century, a very fine town hall of white stone, the finest in Belgium. Next to it is the Basilica of the Holy Blood, an extremely richly decorated chapel dating from the 15th century and containing a famous item, particularly for Catholics. It's the relic of the Holy Blood. This glass phial is reputed to contain some of the blood of Jesus collected during the crucifixion and brought to Bruges from Constantinople during the time of the Crusades. Next stop, more religion, but this time Notre Dame Church, which is really the size of a cathedral with a 122 metre high tower, the second highest in very flat Belgium. And it acts like an internal lighthouse seen for miles. The church has a famous permanent exhibit. It's a statue of the Madonna and Child by Michelangelo, whose birthday, of course, is today. It's the only one of his works displayed outside Italy. There are many art galleries in Bruges, but the best one is called the Groninger Museum, and it contains a fine selection of Flemish, Belgian and Dutch paintings dating from the 15th to the 20th century. They're mainly of religious themes and portraits, and to be honest, I found the majority rather dark and gloomy. Another fine building in Bruges is St. John's Hospital, which was built in the 13th century, and was one of the oldest hospitals in the world. It closed only 20 years ago and is now an art museum. However, we're told that in the old days, it was quite common for patients to have to share beds, so there was a grave danger of getting more diseases there than when you started off. And finally, I must mention one of my favourite places in Bruges called the Béguinage. This was rather like a retirement village with a high wall around it, only two gated entrances, and containing a cluster of attractive little cottages and a chapel built around a well-cared park. Very peaceful and secure, as it should be, because the Béguinage was founded in the 13th century as a safe haven for widows and single women. Originally, no men were allowed around the complex, and it was locked at night. Basically, it was, and I quote, for religious women who wished to live an independent but committed life outside the recognised orders, but with vows of fidelity and poverty. Nowadays, it's used as a convent, and it's a most serene and beautiful place. Bruges in Belgium, one of my real favourites. Look, put it on your list for next time you visit Europe, please. There's my little travel talk for today about Bruges. On to more events on the peninsula this very hectic time of the year. This Saturday, the 10th of March, the Red Hill Showgrounds will come alive with the holding of the 90th Red Hill Show. This is one of Victoria's most popular agricultural shows, and it celebrates the peninsula's wonderful local produce. It's food, wine, beer, cider, fruit, and well, it's animals, of course. On display amongst the animals will be Clydesdales, sheep, alpacas, our feathered friends, goats, working dogs, and heaps more. The Red Hill Cider Show will have plenty of samples of cider. There'll be leather works, wood turning, spinning and weaving demonstrations, and plenty of items to purchase. And I also like the sound of the puppet making workshop. Also the Willem Warrain Indigenous Boomerang Painters. The wood chopping events in the arena. But I'm not sure I'm physically up to joining in with the Australian mountain borders. This Red Hill show has many attractions for the whole family of all ages. Pavilions filled with flowers, fruit and veggies, crafts, photography, art, and a historic display about Red Hill and District's 90th year history. For the kids, free fairground rides. There's live music by the Jackson 4 Jazz Group and others, and Victoria's only remaining Grand Parade, like we used to have in the old days. It's around the stadium at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Look, I'm quite exhausted telling you about this hectic programme of events and attractions which make up the Red Hill Show this Saturday, the 10th of March. It's on from 8:30 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon. Entry costs, well, say the whole family go, two adults and maybe three children, $60. Adults individually, $20. Children, 6 to 18, $10. There's free parking, but it could be very busy for the parking. And if you want more information about this brilliant Red Hill show being held on Arthur's Seat Road in Red Hill, then get it onto the website Red Hill Show, all one word, Red Hill Show, .com.au or ring 5989-2357. That's 5989-2357 for the Red Hill Show this coming Saturday. Wow. Golfers, I have a special event to draw your attention to. What do you know about Frankston Golf Club on Golf Links Road in Frankston? Tucked away in 115 acres of beautifully established and maintained trees, native vegetation, fairways and greens, the Little Course, as it's affectionately known, was first laid out in 1913 and is immersed in history. This is a private golf club and one of the sport's best-kept secrets. Now, if you'd like to play there, Rotary Club of Mount Eliza is holding a golf and lunch day there on Friday week, the 16th of March. You can opt to play 9 or 18 holes. If 18 holes, registration starts at 7:45 in the morning for an 8:30 a.m. shotgun hit-off. If playing 9 holes, please be at the course by 10 in the morning. The Ambrose format of playing will be used, so there's no need to worry if you have a high handicap. And after the rounds are completed, there'll be a succulent spit roast lunch, including wine, beer and soft drinks. There'll be prizes for winners and some novelty events too. All funds raised at Mount Eliza Rotary Club's Frankston Golf Club Day will go to support those in need in the local community. So by participating, you'll not only have a memorable day on a wonderful golf course with friendly people, but you could win valuable prizes whilst helping the disadvantaged. So it's a win all round. If you're interested in playing in the golf match or just coming to the lunch, please contact David Rue, that's R-E-W, David Rue, 0418-553-691. That's 0418-553-691. Do it as soon as possible, as numbers are rather limited for that event. And finally for today, having just discussed an event for golfing aficionados, or one might say fanatics, here's one for lovers of delicious gourmet food and wine produced on our peninsula. And it's linked to International Women's Day, this Thursday the 8th of March. And specifically, it's to celebrate the women who work in the food, wine and agricultural industries on the peninsula to bring fresh local produce to us, which is an activity still somewhat dominated by men. This International Women's Day Mornington Peninsula Luncheon is being held this Thursday at Hillock Downs Produce Store. That's at 151 Dundas Street, Rye, Melways 168E9. 151 Dundas Street, Rye. The organisers are Rye beef farmer Sally Matt and Mornington Peninsula's 100-mile foodie Marlene Hoff. The four-course lunch will comprise solely of peninsula-sourced food, accompanied by Crittenden Estate wines, and Jem Franks, who's the sous chef at Point Leo Estate, will be in charge of the kitchen. So you're in for an incredible meal if you go to that event. The luncheon function is from 11 in the morning until 2:30, so plenty of time to enjoy this gourmet experience. The numbers of attendees is limited to 25. So if you'd like to participate, I suggest you get straight onto the phone to Marlene Hoff. And Marlene's number is 0432-274-907 to book your place at this glorious luncheon. It's the International Women's Day Mornington Peninsula Luncheon this Thursday. It's been going on while I have my usual sandwich and coffee, unfortunately, but I highly recommend it to you. There you are. We're running short on time today. I'm talking too much. So just time for one final piece of music, which I think I chose. Yay!
Yes, it is. Something's coming with Barbara Streisand. But first we'll have a few sponsors and then we'll listen to Tim's choice today, Something's Coming with Barbara Streisand.